Please do you have a pew? Your church looks amazing, so thank you to everyone who came and decorated it yesterday. So often those who aren't involved in that just pop in on a Sunday and don't realise what goes on behind the scenes. So let me tell you, quite a lot goes on behind the scenes in a church like St Mary's to enable it to run very effectively. And we don't say thank you enough. So thank you to all those people that keep it moving along and looking amazing. And Advent is quite difficult to keep it all going. It will change all again tomorrow, so that when you come in for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day again, it will be very different in its look and feel. So thank you to all those that enable us to worship here. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather round your word this morning, we pray that you would enable and inspire each of us to live more confidently in the hope of your Son who came to earth to bring real hope, a joyful peace, and an enabling comfort. We pray that we, as Christian men, women, children, would be able to offer those gifts to all whom we come into contact with. And may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know how many of you have very embarrassing stories. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you. But I have quite a lot of embarrassing stories. And one is being able to recognise people. Now, I meet probably, I don't know, hundreds of people, sometimes a week. Probably I've met, I don't know, near on 1,000 people this week in the different things that I've been to. And everybody that then I see in Sainsbury's or Waitrose or wherever it is, all expect me to know who they are immediately and where they've come from. And I don't know if you've ever met people and they start talking to you and you wonder where you've seen them before and who they are. Is it just me or do you have that too? I'm so pleased. So let me tell you a true story that happened to me a while ago. So it was Christmas and I was out shopping and I'd got my arms full of bags. Now you all know what that's like, don't you? I don't know why we all do it, really. But as I came out of the house this morning, I said to my husband, what is not under the tree and in the fridge, we're not bothering with. Do you all agree with me on that? Absolutely. We will manage. So there I was with all my bags, and I thought, I need a cup of coffee. So I went in to a very well-known coffee shop, let's say. And the only seat that was available was across from this young gentleman. So I thought, well, I'll ask if I can sit now. I have to realise that a collar is not really a chat-up line, all right? So I'm very safe. They run a mile. So there I am in my collar, and I said to him, would it be all right if I joined you? Could I sit here? And he went, yes, of course. So I sat down, and then I realised he was just coming to the end of his cup of coffee. So I said to him, can I buy you another cup of coffee and then I will bring it back with mine? And he went, oh, that would be great. So I did that, brought him back a cup of coffee, and he said, I'm really sorry, he said, that everybody's looking at us. I said, don't worry, I said, that's the lipstick and collar. They'll forget about us in a minute. Not a problem. And so he just smiled and he said, you don't know who I am, do you? And I went, no. So he said, any clue? I went, well, perhaps you've been to one of the services that I've preached at. And he went, no. And I said, well, perhaps you've been to a wedding. And he went, no. Perhaps, sadly, you've been to a funeral that I've taken. He went, no. Oh, perhaps you've been to a seminar or an event that I have run. He went, I have never met you before, he said. Never met me before. So I said, oh. And he said, would a name help you? So I said, well, it might, it might. He said, my name is Lewis Hamilton. And I said, No. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Anyway, he explained what he did with racing and everything. And a bit lost on me. But anyway, we chatted for about 2 hours about life and relationships and all sorts of things. And at the end of our conversation, I said to him, I wonder if you would do one mad, crazy, famous thing for me, because I hadn't asked him anything before. And he said, of course I will. So I said, you see, when I get home and tell my husband that I've had coffee with Lewis Hamilton for 2.5 hours, he's going to say, of course you have. So I said, do you think we could phone him and would you speak to him? Because you'll never believe me. So we phoned him and I said, I'm with Lewis Hamilton having coffee. And he went, of course you are. Very predictable. And I said, I really am. I said, he would like to speak to you. Now, I have to tell you that my husband was on a ladder in the loft. Getting out the Christmas decorations. Anyway, he didn't quite fall off, but anyway, he did drop quite a box of decorations, which ruined some of my... Anyway, never mind. Anyway, he spoke to Lewis Hamilton for about 10 minutes, and I'm still in touch with Lewis from time to time. We text and we chat, but I did not recognise him at all, and you might be thinking, where is she going with this? What I am about to say is that Elizabeth and the baby within her recognized Jesus within Mary. So often in our Christmas story, Jesus is left out. We have the Christmas trees and we've got the tinsel and we have the lights and we have the candles and we have the presents and we have the friends and we have the parties. Now, I think parties are fine. I probably say every time I preach, I think that our lack of parties as Christians means that our churches aren't as full as they should be. So parties are good. So we have all these parties and we need more of them. People need to see that we celebrate outside. I mean, sometimes I go to churches, they look very miserable as they're coming in. They look terrible when they're there. You should see them when they leave. It's not a great advertisement, let me tell you. So we need to cheer ourselves up a bit. So we have all of these trappings around Christmas. And often we forget the most important thing. We forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. And we don't recognize him as well as we should recognize him. The Christmas story has a power that actually can transform lives. I truly believe that. A power that can enable and empower ordinary people. A power that can sustain and inspire. A power that gives hope. Wishes and dreams were so much part of our Christmas culture. And the reason that this very old story is so powerful, it tells of a God of small things, a God of the very ordinary, the story of the Jesus in a manger, not in some flashy mansion or some great palace, but in a very stinky stable that would have been cold. The story of Jesus in a manger under a starry sky is a story of a God who connects with you and me. A God who comes down to join in the mess that we have made of our lives and of our world. The story repeatedly tells us of how God chooses and uses ordinary people to bring about transformation. It begins with his choice of Mary. Now, Mary is a teenager. She would have been no older than 16. A lot of theologians who are much greater than me, I'm a tiny theologian, reckon that she was between the ages of 12 and 14 when she gave birth to Jesus. Can you imagine that? 12 to 14 when she gave birth. A teenager from a nondescript town in Nazareth. Remember in the Gospels, they say, does anything good come out of Nazareth? A nondescript, out-of-the-way place. An outpost of the empire to be the mother of the Christ child. She was no princess. She was no ruler. No wealthy, important individual who was in a position to publicize absolutely anything. She had no influence whatsoever. And we are looking in our Bible reading today at two miracles, two women. One, Mary, a virgin, that I've just described to you. The other, Elizabeth, past childbearing age. Both these women have no power or influence, none whatsoever. The only person in our story that has any influence today is Zechariah. He was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. He had quite a lot of influence. Unfortunately, God had made him mute, because he didn't believe that Elizabeth was going to give birth. So he doesn't actually have a great deal of influence here. That has gone. Because the Jewish people believed that if you had a disability, that God was not with you. Therefore, you were not blessed and worthy to even be in the temple. That's why when the blind man, remember he was healed by Jesus, you go and find out, read it in your gospel, I think it's in Luke, a bit further on, and he has to go to the temple because the priests there have to decide whether he is blind or not, otherwise he cannot worship. Can you imagine that? So the blind man goes into the temple and they decide he's still blind even though he can see, because they're so fed up with Jesus that they don't want to give him credit, so they send him away anyway. So Zechariah, even though he had influence, that has evaporated in an instant. So there's nobody in this story at all that we've heard this morning that has any influence at all here. So when Elizabeth's child is born, everyone would have expected her to have called her son Zechariah, because that's what they did. That is what they still do, is call their first son the name of the father of the child. So you can imagine the surprise when Zechariah gets his voice back and he agrees with his wife and says, no, we're calling it John. They would have all been rendered mute, let me tell you, with the shock of it. So that's exactly what happened there. So they named this baby John, and we all heard just a few weeks ago what John did, and we all know what John the Baptist enables, preparing the way for Jesus, baptizing and getting people to repent and enabling a way for Jesus to come. In the center of our reading today, we find Mary chosen by God, as I said, a powerless woman, a nobody, that God enabled to be the most revered woman in the whole world in history. And Mary's response to God's given choice to us. I've always wondered why Mary said yes. What a brave woman. I think I'd have said, I don't think so. Nip next door. I would not have been open. I would not have been willing to be doing this, let me tell you. But anyway, Mary was a much, much better person than me and was able to be obedient to God in a very powerful and enabling way. And as we continue to go through Advent, which is nearly coming to an end, and as we enter into Christmas, it's about recognizing Christ in the ordinary and the small. So often we are dissatisfied by what we have, because we're always looking for the fantastic and the miraculous, when actually we need to be finding Christ in the ordinary and the insignificant. We need to be finding Christ in one another. And as we come and break bread together, let's find Christ in each other. I am always very sad as an archdeacon when I go from church to church and they're always having disagreements and rows. You probably don't have any disagreements here. I am so pleased to hear it. Because when you have disagreements and you carry on with one another, it disables the power of Christ to move effectively. That doesn't mean you can't disagree. Of course you can disagree. It's very important that you do. But it's how you disagree, isn't it? Now I think our politicians at the moment have let us down magnificently. The way they speak to one another in the House of Commons is absolutely scandalous. And I know we've probably got an MP here this morning. I hope he'll take it back. But I think what has happened, and Trump has got a lot of responsibility in this as well. What I think has happened is that people feel that they can say whatever they want in public life. And let me tell you, I don't think they can. I think it is harmful. I think it is the thing in our society which damages its core. I think it takes away generosity. It takes away the power of enabling each other in argument. Because what we do is crush individuals by harmful words that you cannot take back. And how they have dealt with this Brexit in the House of Commons is shameful. I have written to the Prime Minister myself, so you don't need to take that back, Jeremy. I've already told her what I think. And I've also written to the opposition as well and told him what I think. Because I think it is appalling that we treat each other with such disrespect. And we need to stop it. And we need to remember that we treat each other in the image of God. We treat each other with respect and dignity, whether we believe what they think or not. Simply because God has come to earth. Simply because God has shown us how to live differently and better. And we need to recognize Christ in the ordinary and the simple. And not look so much to the magnificent. Don't look to our government. Don't look to the opposition to be showing the way of how we live as Christians. Because you won't find it. Let us try to transform how we live here. You might think that Mary from a nondescript town in the backwaters of Nazareth, who was 12 years of her age, had no influence whatsoever. Look what God did with her. God can do the same with each of us. All he needs is open hearts and minds and a knowledge of his great love for each of us. Pray for our MPs. Pray for our leaders. Enable them to stand as Christian men and women and to treat people with dignity and respect. Not all this shouting and pointing and jeering. Unbelievable nonsense. Let us, as Christians here this morning at St. Mary's, live differently this Christmas. Let us continue into the new year to transform ordinary lives of men and women around us. Let us use the influence we can for good. Let us bring about a hope and a comfort and a peace. Let us live as Mary lived. Let us recognize Christ in each other this Christmas time. Amen.